as you're sitting down, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, take a look at a neighbor and say, I am glad
that you are here.
Now look at somebody new and say, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about that. Hey, thank you. Have yourselves a seat this morning. Good morning, church. Let's try that again. Good morning, church. Hey, is it good to be in God's house among God's people this morning? Amen. It is. Welcome to worship this morning. My name is Jeff Nelson. I'm the pastor here at Royal Oak First. And on behalf of all of our church members, we want to welcome you to worship this morning. Our ushers are coming by right now with what's called our Ritual of Friendship pad. It's your way to accord your attendance and let us know that you're with us this morning. If you're with us for the first time, and we see a whole bunch of rows of some newer folks with us here, is there something going on here in the first couple rows this morning? I think we're having a big moment. If you record your attendance and let us know that you're with us, then when it gets to the end down here, pass it back to the center and take a look and see who's seated by you today so you can welcome somebody by name. Sam Nahat at the second service said, make sure they pass it back down because I was seated in a row with a whole bunch of people I didn't know and I wanted to welcome them. So make sure you pass it back down so we can see who's with us this morning. Hey, after the service today, I want to invite everybody to join us for coffee hour down in the fellowship hall. We have refreshments and coffee and a chance to keep the conversation and connections alive. So come on down after the service and meet us there. I have a couple of announcements for the good of the community today. In that vein of welcoming new people, Royal Oak First is a church that's growing. Amen? Amen, right? We had 400 people in worship last Sunday, and so that's a good thing. We were at about 200 a year ago. We're at about 400 today, and you are a part of that. So if you are new to us and want to find out some more information about what's happening here in the life of the church, I invite you to come on over to my house on Sunday, March the 5th at 2 p.m. There's just an invitation to come and be involved in what God is doing here. Get your questions answered, but most importantly, I want to know a little more about you. Easy way to let us know that you're coming is either RSVP at the office or down in the fellowship hall, stop by the Here I Am, Lord table. It's the sign that says, Here I Am, Lord, and you can let us know that you'd like to be involved, and that will get you some more information. The second thing I want to make sure that you know about is Lent is right around the corner. Lent is the 6 weeks that lead up till Easter. Doesn't it feel like we just finished Christmas? Right? Easter is right around the corner. During the Lenten season, we're going to have some small groups of 6 to 8 people who are getting together to do some study, some reflection, and some just getting to know each other in a more intentional way. The book that we're going to be using is called Praying in a Noisy World. So I feel like there's a lot of noise out there right now, right? Feels like there's a lot of shouting and a lot of trying to figure out who we are. We're going to quiet that down a little bit during Lent and look to listen for God's voice. After the service, down in the fellowship hall, again, there'll be a sheet that you can say, I'd like to be in a small group, and we'll be in touch with you in the next couple of weeks to help you get connected to one of those vital groups that's happening. But if you're at all interested, make sure that you let us know after the service today or during the week. And finally, I think I got two more, but one last thing. In your bulletins today, there's a sign-up sheet in order to participate in our spiritual retreat. I'm going to ask you a question over these next couple weeks that says, where is God calling you? And my hope is that you can be able to answer that question. One of the ways that we're going to help do that is to set aside some time on Friday, March the 3rd, and Saturday, March the 4th. More information is in your bulletin, but if you would be interested in coming and being a part of that weekend, make sure it's right here at the church. We're not going to go camping, or you can sleep in your own beds, all of that kind of stuff. But I just want you to be a part of that. So if you would like to be involved in that, fill that out and drop that in the offering plate at the close of the service. In your bulletins today, there's a green envelope. Hey, one of you kids that's in the front row, hold that green envelope up so everybody can see it. You see that green envelope? See that green envelope? It's Mission Sunday. The second Sunday of every month, we set aside to talk about mission. We're a church whose mission is mission. We are connected with partner organizations all around the metropolitan area and the world. Today we're going to talk about one of those organizations that we're connected to called the Methodist Children's Home. I'm going to show you a video here in a minute Then I'm going to talk to you about how that green envelope can help make something pretty important happen here in our community. Check out our mission with the Methodist Children's Home. You're less likely to be adopted. For every birthday that comes along that you're in foster care, the chances of you growing up in foster care become more and more real. So birthdays are not necessarily the joyful experience that they have been for us. Also imagine that your parents don't remember your birthday, and your grandparents aren't there to celebrate it with you. And so birthdays in foster care can be a day of really hard rather than a day full of joy. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to sponsor Birthday Club. That means every month, every boy that has their birthday is going to have a party. And we're going to bring the cake. And we're going to bring the pizza. And we're going to bring the pop. And the kids get to write down on a wish list some of the presents they want. And you're going to go out and you're going to help make sure that those presents can happen for those kids. And guess what? I need 6 to 8 people whose only job it is each month during Birthday Club is to show up and eat cake. Can you do that? Sam's in, right? This is the easiest way to serve Jesus you've ever found, right? Imagine what it's like when you don't have anybody to invite to your birthday party, so we're going to show up to make sure that those kids have a party, amen? Right? So that's what the video was going to tell you about today, is how you can be involved in the Methodist Children's Home. So today, you can do that 2 separate ways. One is with your green envelope. Every offering that goes into the green envelope today helps make Birthday Club happen. Right? In addition to your offering that supports the life of the church, if you've got an extra 5, an extra 10, an extra 20, if you want to write a check for $100 or $1,000, whatever it is God is calling you to do, you got $1,000, Robin? You're going to put $1,000 in? Okay, good. Robin's got it, right? Kevin's like, I don't know, Pastor. Talk to me after the service, right? Put that in the green envelope, and the green envelope's going to help make Birthday Club happen. The second thing you can do is at the Here I Am, Lord table, is sign up to say, I'm somebody that you can call to help with Birthday Club. I'll buy the cake, I'll get the directions, I'll get the balloons, I'll get the decorations, I'll go buy a present for a kid, or I'll show up and eat cake, right? So those are the 2 ways that you can help with the Methodist Children's Home. Does it look like we got to go on that? Nope. Okay, so you got it. That's how we're going to do that, okay? Amen? Amen. We didn't need the video, right? Hey, we don't need a video to do baptism either. Hey, would Dan and Mary come on up? Come on up. Friends, this morning we get to participate in what is clearly my favorite thing to do in the life of the church, and that is to welcome new people in. Whether it's through new members or through the sacrament of baptism, we are just thrilled to be welcoming new life. We are baptizing people here at Royal Oak First. Amen? All right? Today, we get to welcome Lucas Evans, here into our life and into our church. So watch and pay attention, because what's going to happen today is nothing short of a miracle. Because this little guy, he hasn't done nothing yet. And yet God is completely thrilled and pleased with him. This is his mom and dad, Mary and Dan. First baby. Remember your first baby if you had those? They're both really excited. You were the first baby, weren't you? Yeah. Only baby. After you were done, they said, no more. No more. No more. So we stand with them in this moment of blessing. Seems like you brought some people along with you here today, right? Are there some grandmas and grandpas here today? Grandmas and grandpas, would you come and stand with us? They're like, you didn't tell us this was the speaking part. Come on up. Make this circle around this baby you love so much. Add to the joy of this moment. Who else you got with you here today? Got some aunts and uncles here today and some cousins? You think they'd like to come and join this circle too? I think they should. Come on up, aunts, uncles, cousins. Come on up. Mary and Dan, this is your inner circle. These are the people who love and know you and love you and promise to stand with you in this moment. It's clear to me that you are surrounded by people who love you, that you are surrounded by a community of blessing. And so I ask you now, as you stand here in the presence of God, have you received Luke as a child of God, a gift, a present, and do you recognize the uniqueness of who he is and do all that you can to uplift that? If so, say we will. And I ask you, will you do all that you can to live your life in front of him in such a way that he would learn the ways of God, the ways of peace and justice, the ways of forgiveness and mercy, the ways of community and charity? If so, say we will. And will you do your best to never try to do this all by yourself, to make sure you ask for help from this inner circle and make sure that you know that you are a part of a wide community of faith who's here to help you on this journey. If you submit to community today, say we will. And I finally ask you, do you recognize that Luke now is part of the Church of Jesus Christ that spans the whole world? People of different races, ages, backgrounds, orientations, that he is one among many, and yet one who is absolutely special to us. If so, say we do. And family, I ask you, as you stand in this moment, will you do all you can to help Dan and Mary raise this precious gift? If so, say we will. Will you celebrate with them in good times and help them in hard times? If so, say we will. Will you promise to spoil this kid? We'll get him out here and have some fun and show him what life is all about. If so, say we will. Brothers and sisters of Royal Oak First, we got a new kid, and he's yours. And so I ask you this morning, will you do all that you can to help this little guy find a home here? Will you make sure that there is space and programs and outings? Will you make sure he gets to go to choir camp? Will you do all that you can to love him and raise him and help him become the young man God has created him to be? If so, say we will. We have a gift for you, prepared by the women of this church. This is Mary Nahat, Luke, your new grandma in the faith. This has been knit together by the women of the church and prayed upon. And so as you wrap Luke in that in these days, know that you are surrounded and loved by the love of God. Would you come towards the water with me? Water, the sign of renewal. Look at that, buddy, huh? Water, the sign of new life. Water, the sign of blessing. What is the name of this child that you've brought for baptism here today?
Lucas Harrison Evans.
Lucas Harrison Evans. I'm going to take you for just a minute, okay? Okay. Hi, buddy. Okay, you ready? Lucas Harris Evans, I baptize you today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hey, buddy, God loves you. There's nothing you can do about that. And we are so glad that you are here with us. And we just pray that God's Holy Spirit would just pour out upon you. I know it's weird, right? It's okay. It is weird. But we're glad you're here. Thank you for showing us how blessed we are to have you in our midst. Amen? Want to go back to Mom? Yeah, I don't blame you. I have a letter that Dan and Mary wrote for Luke today that I want to share with you about their words and their hopes for him. And then I'm going to invite you to come on up here and lay some hands on this family. Luke, you won't remember these words today, but we won't forget them. And this is going to go in a box, so when you get older someday, you'll remember what your mom and dad had to say to you. Dear Lucas, today we are overcome with joy, pride, and love as we celebrate your baptism. It is a moment we will reminisce together for years to come. As first-time parents, We brought you into this world assuming we would be the teachers and you would be the student. Although we have played a role in some of your milestones, it's undeniable how frequently the tables turned. Quite honestly, we in fact have been your students as much as you have been ours. In only 1 year, you've taught us countless lessons for which we are grateful. You've taught us the importance of patience and perseverance, that doing anything is worth doing right. You've taught us the power of a hug, that a simple embrace can brighten the darkest days. You've taught us to live in front of the lens, that experiences are worth more than photos. And most of all, you've taught us that the best things in life are worth waiting for, that love is unconditional, and that no bond is stronger than family. As you have done for us, we hope to nourish your world with wisdom, opportunities, and remarkable memories. If you are to learn one thing from this sacrament today, understand that you are never alone, no matter where you are in life. With God, family, and community, you have an endless supply of support, guidance, resources to help navigate this mysterious, exciting thing called life. You are loved, little boy, now and forever. Love, Mom and Dad. Amen. Luke, come on out here with your mom and dad and family. Follow us into the center here. We're going to bring Lucas into the middle of our service, and we're going to welcome him in. And I'm going to invite you to stand as you are able and come into the middle and lay some hands on this family. Come on right into the center of this new community of faith. Come on in, friends. Join a hand and lay a hand on him here. I'm going to come to the back and pray for us. Dan and Mary, take a look around at this room. It's full of people who promised today to help you on this journey called parenting, in this journey called community, in this journey called life. Lucas Harris Evans, thank you for reminding us today who we are and whose we are. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks this day that we are reminded through the waters of baptism that we are loved beyond measure. That we need a community of people to help us walk this journey called life. And at the end of the day, family and friends are the best gift we've ever been given. Strengthen Dan and Mary. Strengthen their family. And strengthen this community by the presence of Lucas in our midst. And all the people of God said, amen. Hey, let's welcome this little guy into our life and our community. Stands alone, we stand side by side. Draw the circle wide. After the service, make sure you go get that one rose, okay? That's for you, guys.
Today's scripture reading is from Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a high and exalted throne, the edges of his robe filling the temple. Winged creatures were stationed around him. Each had six wings. With two they veiled their faces, with two their feet, and with two they flew about. They shouted to each other, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heavenly forces. All the earth is filled with God's glory." The doorframe shook at the sound of their shouting, and the house was filled with smoke. I said, "Mourn for me, I'm ruined. I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live among a people with unclean lips. Yet I've seen the King, the Lord of heavenly forces." Then one of the winged creatures flew to me, holding a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt has departed and your sin is removed." Then I heard the Lord's voice saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" I said, "I'm here. Send me." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Here at Royal Oak First, we have a tradition when it comes time for the sermon, you take out your phone and you check in and you let somebody know that you're here. We don't turn our phones off here at Royal Oak First, we keep them on. And if there's something interesting happening during the service, you take a picture of it and you send it out to your friends, right? And there's lots of interesting things happening here. So if you got your smartphone and you haven't checked in yet today, now's a great time to do that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, ask a kid. They'll tell you, all right? I want to tell you a story quick before we get into today's sermon, something really cool that happened yesterday that tells you about the power of our connections in the neighborhood and in the community and what a difference you make beyond the walls of this church. Yesterday we had a memorial service here for Olive Mae Glenn, one of our older members who was a pastor's wife and was died at age 90 here. And her family came. We had a wonderful celebration of life. We were going to have the luncheon after the service downstairs, and the family had called for a caterer. And so at about 10 to 1, we got nervous that the food hadn't showed up yet. So we called the caterer, and they said, "We have no order for food coming to the church today." So we had 50 people ready to have lunch, and nobody, no food to feed them. So guess where I went? Jimmy's. Across the street, in my robe, in my stole, walked in there. They're like, "Pastor Jeff, what is the matter?" And I said, "I got hungry people and I got no food to feed them." Sam said, "Come back in 20 minutes. Four pans of mozzarella and two great big Greek salads later, I pulled out my credit card and he said, "Don't worry about it. Go feed the people, because that's what needs to happen." So, lots of places you can eat in Royal Oak. But if you get a chance to stop at Jimmy's sometime in the next week, would you tell him thanks? Thanks for making Christ's love visible. Thanks for being our neighbors. And all those omelets that I've eaten there in the last 7 months, for such a time as that. As we get into our word here this morning, would you just pray with me that God would open our ears and our hearts afresh? Gracious God, we simply ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be measured and found acceptable in your sight. Because, Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hey, last Sunday was Super Bowl Sunday. What a game, huh? What a game. I don't know about you, but I come to the Super Bowl Sunday every year, and I spend most of the day, most of the game, looking out throughout the crowd, and I'm looking for one person in the midst of that crowd. I look for him every single year. I scan the crowd looking for his face. I wonder if you're looking for him too. The one guy in the midst of the crowd, the guy, you know which guy I'm talking about. I'm talking about this guy. You know, the John 3:16 guy. Remember him? He sits behind the goalpost, and every time there's an extra point or a field goal, he holds the sign up high so that everybody can see that he's here. He holds it high above his head. It wouldn't be the big game without him. It's almost like he's the messenger, a visible sign of God's presence in the midst of all that is going on, just kind of bobbing up and down in the vast sea of humanity. I scan the crowd and I look for him. But it's not the only time I've looked for him. I looked for him in the dust on that September morning of 2001. On 9/11, I looked through the dust and the chaos, looking and hoping and praying that I could see a sign of God's presence in the midst of all that was going on around him. I looked for the sign in the aftermath of Newtown and the Boston Marathon bombings and the Charleston church shootings and the Orlando nightclub killings. I looked for him. I looked for him every time that I've gone to orphanages in Ghana and the hurricane-ravaged coasts of Haiti, in the foothills of Appalachia, in the neighborhoods of Brightmoor. Truth be told, I'd just like to hire this guy to follow me around everywhere that I go, every time that I turn around. So there's the sign, hold it up, hey, God's right here. Right here in the midst of everything that's going on around you, I am right here. Even on Super Bowl Sunday, this guy seems to be saying, if you're looking for something bigger, something better, something more important than even this biggest game of the year, look no further. God is in the midst of it. And I imagine that's why we're here this morning. I imagine that's why we're here almost every Sunday morning. We come here hoping and praying that in the midst of the frenzy and chaos and craziness that is our life and is our world, that maybe, just maybe, we will see a sign that God is in the midst of it. Where are you, God? Listen, and you can hear that whisper echoing throughout all of the world around us. Those who find themselves on the downside of downsizing, where are you, God, in the midst of all of this? Children who go to school and never learn to read, where are you, God, in the midst of all of this? Boys who sit at the Methodist Children's Home wondering if anybody's going to show up for their birthday, where are you, God, in the midst of all of this? The hungry and the homeless, the poor and the prostitutes, the teenaged runaway, the teenaged parent, where is God in the midst of all of this? They scan the crowd, hoping, looking, hoping and praying that somebody somewhere is just going to hold the sign and say, look, right here, God is right here. Right here in the midst of it, look no further. When the world asks, where is God? We know that we, the church, are supposed to be a part of that answer. We know that when the world asks, where is God? They ought to look at us and say, there. There is God, right there in the midst of everything that's going on around us. You know, they ought to look at us in the way we love, in the way we welcome, in the way we serve, and they ought to say, if that's what God looks like, man, I want to be a part of that. Turn the clock back with me, 750 years before Christ, and you meet the original sign-carrying guy. His name was Isaiah. And he was a priest. So it's not like Isaiah had never been to church before. But you see, something happened right there in the middle of church some 750 years ago. Something happened right there in the middle of the church. Can you imagine that something happened right in the middle of church? Right? It wasn't even on the bulletin. Believe it or not, right there between the doxology and the prayer of dedication, God showed up. We didn't even cover it in the worship planning meeting. And the Lord showed up in the midst of it all. And it said something happened in the midst of everything that was going on, right in the middle of the singing and the praying and the preaching. God bent down and whispered to Isaiah, hey, who am I going to send? And without skipping a beat, Isaiah picked up a piece of tag board, scribbled his message on it, and said, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. And after that day, when Isaiah heard God whisper to him right in the middle of the church service, Isaiah's life was never the same. In fact, Isaiah spent the rest of his life going everywhere he went, holding the sign, saying, here I am. Send me. Read his book from cover to cover and you will discover. Well, I didn't even mean to rhyme there. That was pretty good. Read his book from cover to cover and you will discover a guy that walked around holding up this sign. In the midst of war and tribulation, it was Isaiah who showed up with a sign and said, guess what? One day we're going to turn our swords into pruning hooks and our and other things into plowshares. And nations aren't going to learn war anymore. Here I am. That's going to happen one day. In the midst of economic hardship and poverty and famine, it was Isaiah who showed up and said, one day, God's going to design a well-watered garden where everybody is going to eat together. And on that day in exile, when the people of God had been taken into captivity and they wondered if life would ever be the same, it was Isaiah who said, even when it feels like you're drowning, even when it feels like your whole world is burning down around you, be not afraid, for God has not left you. Isaiah went everywhere that God sent him and said, here I am. The presence of God is right here in the midst of all that we're doing. His life became the blinking neon sign that said, you're looking for God, then here. Right here in the midst of all of this. It's called calling. It's called calling. Calling is the strong inner impulse towards a particular course of action, especially when accomplished by conviction or divine influence. Hear that again. Calling, it's the strong inner impulse towards a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by inner conviction or divine influence. Simply put, calling, it's what God does. God calls. Read the scripture from cover to cover, and essentially you will discover. Man, I really went into a rhyme here that I didn't plan on today. Read it from cover to cover, and essentially you will discover that the Bible is a book about calling. Noah called to build an ark. Abraham called to start a family. Joseph called to start economic reform. Moses called to free slaves. David called to fight giants. Esther called to save her people. Solomon called to build a temple. Mary called to give birth to hope. Jesus called to bring salvation to the world. 12 disciples called to start a moment and a movement of love. Paul called to preach a gospel of inclusion. Call is what God does. God calls, and like Isaiah, our job is to say, here I am, Lord. Send me. So let me ask you this morning, plain and simple, where is God calling you? Where is God calling you? I imagine you feel a little like Isaiah right now in that moment when God whispered down in his ear and said, who am I going to send? Isaiah said, me? Me? No, not me. God, you've got the wrong person. I'm not your guy. I mean, look at me. Isaiah says, I'm too human for this. I have unclean lips. I come from a people of unclean lips. I'm not smart enough. I'm certainly not religious enough. I'm not holy enough. You got the wrong guy. And yet Isaiah calls. Finally, Isaiah answers, here I am, Lord, send me. Like Isaiah, we have doubt on the call that God has on our life. I know you will tell me that you're too human for this. You're not smart enough for this. Not religious enough for this. But God calls. And when we deny our call, when you deny the little nudge that God has placed on your life and on your heart, I'm here today to tell you that until you respond to the gentle nudging, God will always feel like you will always feel like you are missing something. There will be an emptiness, an incompleteness, a nagging that will not go away. So this morning, let me just clear up a few things about call. God calls every single person to be involved in the transformation of the world. Let me say that again. God calls every single person to be involved in the transformation of the world. God does not call special people. God calls every person. God does not call only important people, and he certainly doesn't call just religious people. God calls on all people. See, one of the things that churches have messed up about this whole idea of calling, we've turned calling into this whole idea that calling must be professionalized. Certainly pastors and preachers are called, but the rest of us, we are just here to watch them do their work. Let me just be very, very clear. Pastor is a call among calls, but it is not the only call. So if God is calling you, don't worry. He's not calling you to be up here like me or Caleb someday, although he might be calling some of you to do that. And I know that you're out there worrying that, gosh, I don't feel like I'm called to anything important like running off to Central America or to Haiti. Maybe God's just calling you to make cupcakes for the birthday club. All of it's call, and all of it is your opportunity to stand up and say, God, here I am, send me. Call. What is call? Let me tell you what call is. Call is the place where your deep gladness and the world's hunger meets. Let me say that again. Call is where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meets. Call, it's where your gift meets the world's need. It's where your gift meets the world's need. And there's nothing like somebody who's using their gift to change the world. So I know what you're saying this morning. That's some really good preaching up there, preacher. They sure taught you good in that religious school of yours. You believe any of this? Friends, I don't believe it. I've seen it. Her name was Anne. I preached a sermon like this about call, that God could use any gift that anybody had said, and then I sat in my office and waited for the masses to come in and tell me how they were called. Well, Anne's the only one who showed up in my office. Anne walked into my office, and I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be good. She's got a big call on her life. I can't wait to see the big thing that God's going to do. She walked in and she said, Pastor, you said God could use any of our gifts, right? I said, absolutely. Bring it on, sister. What you got? I like the scrapbook. Okay. All right. Any of those scrapbookers out here? Man, I don't understand you people, right? But you get together like for a whole weekend with your crimps and your crops and your funky scissors and you make these books. I mean, it's a wonderful thing, right? And so Anne loves scrapbooking. She says, I want to use that for what God wants to do. And I said, okay, what are we going to do? She went back and she thought about it. And four times a year, Anne would hold an event at our church called Cropping for Christ. And 35 to 50 women would pay money to come and sit in our church together and cut things out with fancy scissors. And they'd share the afternoon together with each other, and they would laugh, and they would have a wonderful time sharing their memories with each other. Then Anne would take that money that she would raise, hundreds of dollars from that event, and she'd go buy craft supplies. And then she'd go get the littlest kids in our church, and they'd get together, and they'd make a whole bunch of crafts. They'd make vases and valentines and homemade cards. And then she'd take them every quarter out to the nursing home. And they would pass out those gifts to the shut-ins who nobody comes to visit. Here I am, Lord. Send me. You see what happened? God took Anne's gift in the world's great hunger and created a community space for women to come together and scrapbook and form community. She raised money that then went and took the youngest kids in our church, gave them a mission and ministry, and took them to the sick and the shut-in who'd never have anybody come visit them. That's what happens when you let your gift be used by God. And then I preached this sermon at the next church, and Dennis walked into my office. And I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be good. What's Dennis bringing to the table? Walks in and says, Pastor, I like to fish. What are you going to do with that? I said, I don't know, Dennis. Let's stand up in front of the church next Sunday and see if there's any kid out there that's never been fishing. Sure enough, Cindy's two daughters, Barbara and Carly, young widow whose husband passed away when the girls were 3 and 5. Those girls never been fishing. Dennis took those girls fishing that summer. 3 years later, Dennis has 6 buddies that now take anywhere between 40 and 70 kids fishing every summer. Miracles happen when your gift can be used for God's ministry. Just so you don't think this is held down by any age, John, who was in kindergarten at the last church, woke up in the middle of the night and went and got his mom and said, Mom, God gave me a vision. Hungry people need to eat food. And he came into my church and he said, Pastor, you got to help me feed hungry people. I said, John, what are we going to do? So we started John's food drive. John took bags and he went out through our entire neighborhood and he put bags on everybody's door. Then we made a little video and we put up a little GoFundMe page. We raised about $500 and John got to go to the store and John got to buy food and John got to bring it into the food pantry of his church. Miracles happen when your gift can be used to meet the world's hunger. So I'm going to ask you again today, where is God calling you? And I'm here today to say it's okay if you can't answer that today. But that's why I put together that retreat coming up at the end of this month, so you can start to answer that question. The whole retreat is designed to help you take that next step forward to say, what is my gift? And how can I use it? I can't wait for a year from now when the stories I tell won't be from the churches I used to serve, but will be from the stories of the church I do serve. Because Royal Oak First, God is calling you. God is calling us. And today it simply begins by agreeing to pick up our sign and say, all right, here I am, Lord. Send me. I'm not going to let you off the hook because God's not going to let me off the hook. Where is God calling you? Over this next month and over this next year, let's try to answer that question together. Where your deep giftedness meets the world's deep hunger, miracles can happen. Brothers and sisters, pick up your sign. The world is waiting and the world is looking. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Now get out of here. And do something good for somebody this week. Amen.